Capital Radio presents Looking Back, a play of legacy memories by Jenny Davis, OAM.
Life is about joy and sadness.
Life is about struggle and finding peace.
Life is about hope, even when hope seems lost.
Life is about love.
Life is
living. We're going to hang out the washing on the Z3 line. Have you any dirty washing, Mother dear? We're going to hang out the washing on the Z3 line, because the washing day is here. Whether the weather may be wet or fine, we'll just rub along without a care. We're gonna hang out the washing on the Z3 line, if the Z3 line's still there.
Shirley, I needed a run up road for me.
Things were pretty tough in England during the war. I grew up in Yorkshire. I was the eldest of seven, so I had to grow up quick and help me mother.
Hey then, what's keeping thee? Get a move on.
Almost every day I had to get in the shopping.
Take two bags, mind. There's a bit to carry, right enough.
In the shop, I had to queue with our family ration books. There were no goods in the shelves back in those days.
Aye, up, lass, what can I do for thee?
Everything were behind counter, and you had to ask for something you wanted. A store of potatoes, please, mister, and a pound of the biscuits yonder. Ta, ta-da! Meat and butter and cheese and sugar and eggs, they were all rationed. All the things we children liked. So we ate a lot of spuds, a lot of chip butties. Oh, potatoes are so heavy. When I go home on this particular day...
Where's the ration books?
I'd lost them on the way home.
Flippin' neck, Shirley. You daft apeth. How am I gonna feed everyone? Oh, it'll take me days to get new coupons. It's a right rigmarole applying for them. Oh, I'm that vexed. That's the eldest. That's supposed to be helping, and that's nobbit a hindrance.
I were only little, Miss N.
Get on and scrub carrots for me. Thank heavens for the allotment. At least us has plenty of other veg. And thank heavens, I did bacon yesterday. And keep an eye on your brothers. No playing on building site now.
The building site stopped work because of the war. Us kids love playing there. Oh, it were exciting. There were deep holes that had filled up with water. I fell in once, and me sister grabbed hold of me hair to stop me going under. Oh, ouch! Me little brothers were real rogues. They stole sweets. They were hard to keep them out of trouble. And they were always fighting, even in bed.
Pack it in, lads! You just wait till I get up there.
If they were bombing at night, us had to go down to the cellar. Me mum kept books down there, and she would read to us. Oh, I like that. One night, when it were quiet-like, we were asleep in the house upstairs, and me mum, who was expecting a new baby any moment, was sleeping downstairs. Me dad came to get me.
Wake up, Shell. I have to go fetch the nurse.
Why? Is me mum ill?
You just keep all the children upstairs, Pet. They can't come down, do you hear me?
Yes, Dad. Mum had felt the baby coming and tried to get up. The baby came out and fell to the floor and rolled under the bed. Me mum already had six children, so she knew what to do. She dragged the baby out from under the bed, wrapped it in a blanket and held it to keep it warm. Dad ran to the back door, but he couldn't get out.
Blum, here the snow's that deep I can't open it properly. Happen you'll have to hold on, Petal, till I get the shovel and clear it away.
Mum sat holding the baby, and I watched the little faces of me brothers and sisters on the stairs, peeping through the banisters. Me dad'll get you boiled sweets if you're good, but mind you don't swallow them whole. When Dad brought the midwife, she said Mum had done well. She said if this had been Mum's first baby, she probably wouldn't have known what to do and the baby would have died. Well, at least when the baby came, we weren't in a bombing raid down in that cellar. Ooh, it was right parky down there.
We're gonna hang out the washing on the Z3 line. Have you any dirty washing, Mother dear?
We had an air raid shelter underground in our garden in Surrey, but it was pretty awful. It was cold down there, too, and always damp. When it rained, we had our feet in water. Mostly the shelter was used for storing Mum's bottled fruit. When we heard the air raid siren, Mum would grab our hands and we raced across the road to the recreation centre. Everyone in the road used the rec centre's shelter, so there was always company. My older sister was 7 and she did schoolwork while we sheltered.
I learned my times tables down there. I didn't like the sound of the siren and what it meant. When it started wailing, it would make me go cold. Get your gas mask, George!
We had to take our gas masks in a cardboard box that we hung around our necks, and we each took a toy. Will I take my truck, or will I take Teddy?
Oh, come on, George!
No time to lose. I can hear the planes. We have to go.
They're coming, Mum.
Keep running. Keep running. Keep running.
They seem to explode in
love. Keep running. Keep running. Keep running. Keep running.
Somehow, we survived.
7 times 2 is 14. 7 times 3 is 21. 7 times 4 is... 28.
That was way too close for comfort. And your father is away at sea in the Navy, thinking we are safe at home.
In the shelter, if we were hungry, we ate bread and dripping. We had enough to eat, but no treats.
Except the day the greengrocer had a box of bananas. Each child was given one, and we shared ours with Mum.
Then, one day, we were at the station with labels, with our names on, tied around our necks.
I don't want to go, Mum. I don't want us to be evacuated.
You have to go, love. It's not safe here.
Well, then it's not safe for you either.
I'll be all right, I promise. But I'll miss you so much. Well, you'll like it in the country. You might be on a farm and see animals. Be polite to whomever you're billeted with and look after George. I'll come and visit as soon as I can.
I love the train. A giant, noisy, hissing, whistling steam engine. Men with oil cans tapping the wheels. Guards with peak caps and waistcoats and pocket watches. Whistles and red and green flags.
And I like the green fields in Devon. When we arrived, we had to walk to the village school with our cases. And people who were willing to take children came in to look at us. We were amongst the last children to be chosen because I wouldn't be separated from George.
Well, we've 6 children of my own, all boys. We can only take one lad or my wife will have something to say about it.
You can't take him.
Ah, Kitty, now, don't be acting gert noodle-like.
No, he's only 6. He doesn't like going to bed on his own in the dark. I have to be with him.
Oh, afeard of the dark be him. All right, me handsome, you've a good little lass is caring for ye. Good luck to ye, then.
In the end, we were placed on a farm, and it wasn't too bad. We were a bit afraid of the cows at first, but we learned not to be. But George didn't ever like bedtime, so I read a story to him every night. But he always wanted the same book. Shall we have a different story, George?
No, it has to be Peter Pan and Wendy.
I was a bit like Wendy, playing Mum to a lost boy. We read 2 pages every night. George and I were very close. I promised Mum I'd look after him.
We meet again. Don't know where. Don't know when. But I know we'll meet again. Some sunny day.
All comes to all of us. Even growing up near Southern Cross. I was a child of a serviceman, a sister of a serviceman, and wife to a serviceman. They all went to war, and they all suffered. My dad was gassed in France in World War I. He came home, but his lungs were eaten away. He was very sick from the time I was born. My mum nursed him lovingly. She never made a job of it and was up with him every night to make him tea because he coughed so much. We lived in the bush. And we never had much, very few toys. But it was a wonderful life. Even though we had no modern conveniences, no electricity, just Aladdin kerosene lamps and a chip heater, or a copper for the water and a tin tub for a bath in front of the fire. To catch a train to Perth, we had to stand on the railway line in the dark and wave a light for the train to stop. Then we had to sit up on wooden seats until 11 a.m. next morning. But it was a happy life. My mum was just the loveliest, always saw the good in people. During the Depression, many people walked around hungry looking for work. My mum always managed to give them a feed. She'd say,
They're just some poor mother's son.
My brothers would laugh when men on the wallaby came to the door.
Hey, look out, Mum. Another poor mother's son for you to feed.
We're going to hang out the washing on the sea green line. Have you any dirty washing, Mother dear?
When my brothers enlisted for World War II, it was hard to see them go. But after the Depression, it was a way to earn some money. They were in Greece when it fell, and Doug was taken prisoner by the Germans and had a very hard time. My mum must have hoped that some other mother would take pity on her boys, as she had so often done to others. I don't think any of the boys came back completely normal. They'd seen such terrible things. I wanted to be a nurse, but Dad wasn't keen.
Ah, Rosie, you shouldn't have to see the things nurses see.
But in a way I did. I was soon to be in hospital myself in Kalgoorlie. I had a headache and a cough and a sore throat. Mum called the doctor.
He says she has hay fever.
No, that can't be right. She's getting more and more disorientated.
She's coughing up blood.
In hospital, I went into a coma and was put in an iron lung. I had polio. For 5 days, I was unconscious and the minister was sent for. A nurse was with me, it seems. And then... I know that song.
Glory be.
I got over it. I was very lucky.
Whether the weather may be wet or fine, we'll just rub along without a care.
You awake, love?
Oh, yes. Dad, can't you sleep?
Those rabbits. I reckon they've all immigrated to the Albany region. There's one in the trap again. You want to come and rescue it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I loved going on these night walks with my dad. We could hear the dingoes. But I felt very secure with a light in one hand and my dad's hand in the other. As one of four girls and a boy, I should have felt that Dad didn't want any more girls. But I never did.
Hope you're not too tired for school with Mum in the morning.
We were homeschooled and Mum made desks for each of us kids out of kerosene packing boxes lined with brown paper. But I didn't like schooling. My favourite subject was driving sheep. I had no raincoat, so when it was wet, we inverted a sugar bag with one corner tucked into the other to form a hood. I wanted to get out into the world. The war brought opportunities. Mum, I'm going to join the Air Force.
Absolutely not. You're much too inexperienced about the world.
Well, here's my chance to get more experienced. I'm 20, Mum. I'm not a kid anymore.
In the Air Force, you'll just be entertainment for the officers.
But I'll have a job.
Oh, cooking, no doubt, in the bakehouse.
No way am I doing that. You can pick what you want to do. I'm going to be in cipher.
What's that?
I'm not sure, but it sounds interesting.
You are so naive. Do not write home and tell us you're expecting a baby.
On the train to Victoria, I met some girls who offered me a bottle of EB. I didn't drink, so I had no idea it meant emu bitter. I was very naive, but the Air Force was wonderful. And I did like cipher and studying codes so we could decipher messages. The bed-making rules were less fun. We had to fill our own mattresses with straw, then sew them up and place our grey woolen blankets so straight that the blue line in the middle had to be exactly in the middle of the hard wooden bed. It was very strict. We learnt to march and salute.
Forward march!
I must have been a bit of a rebel. On marches, I'd put stones in my empty mug.
Halt! What the hell is that bloody noise?
I did enjoy annoying the sergeant. I didn't have much schooling, but the Air Force was an education.
Gonna take a sentimental journey. Gonna set my heart at ease. Gonna make a sentimental journey to renew old memories.
School wasn't easy for some of us. Being left-handed in a right-handed world wasn't easy. At school in country New South Wales, I get the blackboard duster thrown at me.
Left-handers are no good.
Or the ruler over my knuckles.
Write out these words over and over again with your right hand and do it again and again until I can read it properly.
So I didn't get ahead with anything.
And with homecraft lessons...
You cannot be in my class if you insist on stirring the wrong way. And as for your sewing...
I left school as soon as I could. Not that it was easy at home either. I didn't dare to get up to mischief with my mother. She'd always have an apple stick at the end of the table ready to chastise you with. I did think of hiding it. What was the point? There were plenty more on the tree in the backyard.
Gonna take a sentimental journey.
We had lots of love and laughter in my home in Wagen. My dad was a gunner in the Navy, but when he came home, he didn't talk much about the war. He got quite depressed sometimes. Occasionally, he'd go to the repatriation hospital for counselling. The grown-ups just said he wasn't well. What are you doing, Dad?
Planting fruit trees. I didn't have much food growing up. Fruit trees are good. They provide food.
22 of them?
Well, you'll never go hungry.
There were orchards all around us. We would climb fences and raid them. We didn't need to. We had Dad's trees at home. But we did it just for the thrill. And we'd eat ourselves silly. So, no, we never went hungry. We lived near a river, and we would spend all holidays on it, summer or winter.
Can I have a dinky, Jude?
We'd ride 10 miles out of town for a picnic with a sibling on the handlebars. We like to explore. Oh, I'd go anywhere. Let's go to the rifle range. Come on.
What for?
We can find some dead cartridges.
What for?
For a game. Come on. You need to crawl around the back of the ranges to find them. No one will see us.
Ready, aim, fire!
Are they shooting at us?
It's target practice.
Supposing they miss the target?
We better get lost. We never went there again.
Gonna make a sentimental journey to renew old memories.
Catholic dogs stink like frogs.
When we came with my mum from the country to live near the city, I had to leave my hen Lucy behind. She was my pet. The big grade 5 and 6 boys dug the air raid trenches by the Masonic Hall.
You can't go in them. The Masons eat little Catholic girls.
Well, I'm going shopping in Perth.
Well, you won't be able to go to Bowen's. Bowen's is only for proddies. Mick's have to go to Ahern's.
My dad made me go to boarding school at a convent in the country. I was only little and I was afraid of the dark. If I woke up at night, I need to go to the toilet. Come with me, please.
I can't. If the two of us go together, it's sinful. The nun said so.
We had to make confession every week. But we were scrutinised so much, there wasn't much chance of committing any sins. What are you going to say?
I'll say... Oh, I don't know. We could make something up. I could say I coveted your nightdress.
Why would you say that? It's the same as yours.
Oh...
I could say I was greedy at breakfast.
Oh, for that porridge. I don't think anyone would believe you. I could say I had bad thoughts about some of the sisters.
That would be true.
Never thought my heart could be so yearning. Why did I decide to roam? Gotta take that sentimental journey. Sentimental journey home.
Yes, sis, why don't you have a bike? The boys all have them.
Dad won't let me. He thinks only boys need them.
Oh, that's no good. I don't want you to miss out, kiddo. I'll buy you one.
I don't know how to ride a bike.
I'll teach you, you galah.
My big stepbrother was real good to me. My mum had breast cancer and died. So I then had to come home after school at East Perth High to cook the evening meal. It was a big shock when she was gone. As the only girl in the family, I had to do housework at weekends and the washing. The boys did nothing.
Sorry, sis. It is tough on girls. But who else has a pet cocky like yours? Look at him riding on your handlebars.
Oh, I loved riding my bike. When I grew up, I worked at the hospital on Murray Street as a nurse's aide. So I was still caring for people. But I had a great time with the other nurses. Lots of laughter and sing songs at night. And there were so many soldiers and sailors on the street during wartime.
Oh, g'day. Nice bumping into you. You want to come dancing? Or the pictures, maybe?
So many of them asking you out. I could hardly catch my bus home.
Everyone seemed to be in uniform.
Gonna take a sentimental journey. Gonna set my heart at ease.
Growing up during the war, I was surrounded by khaki. My dad had served in the Great War and joined up again in World War II. My brothers were in the army, and so was my sister-in-law and brother-in-law. When I later joined the army, my parents were pleased at first. But the night before I left...
I've been talking to Fred down the street. He says good girls go wrong in the army. I can't let you go.
Dad, don't you trust me?
I've made up my mind. You're better staying as you are, working in that shop.
Dad, how can you? I don't want to work in the shop all my life. I want to join the army and drive a truck. Mum, tell him.
The army's in her blood, dear. And she needs something worthwhile to do. She's not a girl to sit home and sew or sit behind a counter.
She talked him round, and he was proud when I came home in uniform. He brushed it every morning. I love the army, but I never did get to drive a truck.
So you're in supplies, providing the army with replacement parts.
Yes, I'm a storewoman at Midland Junction. So for a while, I was still sitting behind a counter.
Gonna take a sentimental journey. Gonna set my heart at ease.
We were all women together in the army in those days. No integration. It was a battle to get recognised for what we were doing, and our pay was two-thirds of the men's. If a girl got pregnant, she was put straight out of the army into a home for unmarried mothers. We managed to change a lot of these things so that men and women could be treated equally. I loved teaching the girls. Raw recruits would march out 5 weeks later as confident young women.
Long to hear that all aboard. Seven, that's the time we leave at seven. I'll be waiting up at heaven, counting every mile of railroad track that takes me back. Never thought my heart could be so yearning. Why did I decide to roam? Gotta take that sentimental journey. Sentimental journey home.
When you're 7 years old and at a one teacher school north of Bendigo, you don't know much about this war that's happening in the world all around you. But we knew that the men were away fighting and that we could be invaded. Christmas was a good time, even during the war. We had eight pillowcases slung over eight chairs for us eight kids. In the morning, there'd be almonds and walnuts in the bottom and a packet of cream biscuits, an extravagance as Mum made the biscuits we normally ate on the farm. And there would be a gift, clothes or a doll. I worked hard on our farm as a kid. I milked four cows a day, morning and night, and I was the one who drove the sheep 6 miles to a neighbouring farm to make sure they didn't eat the poison grass. It was tiring. But I did love to read. And I fell asleep reading on our veranda one day, when suddenly I woke up to rifle fire.
Help! Mum! Mum, the Japanese are coming! The Japanese are here! They're in the next door's paddock! Someone help!
Stone the crows, love. It's only us practicing. It's us blokes from the Volunteer Defence Corps. There's no bloody invasion round here, mate. We're here to keep you safe.
Well, I did feel a bit silly. Nice to know someone's looking out for you, though. You want that all your life.
When I met Don, I knew straight away that he was the one. Someone had dragged him along to a party. He was wearing a pink shirt, so you couldn't help but notice him. I hung on his every word, and we were engaged within a fortnight.
Take one fresh and tender kiss,
the memories you gave me.
Add one stolen night of bliss,
the memories you gave me.
We'd go dancing at the embassy ballroom. No living together in those days, of course. We fell head over heels in love. We fell in love the night we met. We were probably lonely until then.
There was a big army camp in Northam during the war. After the service at the parish hall, they put on tea and a concert for the soldiers. We had Dutch and British and all these different soldiers around us. But I was only a kid and war seemed unreal to us. Later, after I finished teacher training, I was posted back to Northam. I went in a busload of young people to a dance in Meckering. So you had your 21st birthday in the war?
I did, up in the islands.
Living in the jungle must have been hard.
We managed.
But weren't the Japanese around?
They were around all right. Once we set up camp and were told not to put bullets in our guns because it was only jungle out there. But we knew the enemy were also out there in that jungle. There wasn't one person in that camp who didn't always have a bullet in his gun. You always had to be alert. You get used to it.
And now you have to get used to peacetime.
No, that's easy. I can play tennis again and go boating. And I think I just found something else I can get used to very easily.
We clicked immediately. But we had to wait to get married. If I get married, I have to resign from teaching. And I have to do 3 years teaching service or pay back my fees for teachers college.
3 years? Well, some things are worth waiting for. We've got a good 50 years or more ahead.
We did. And three children.
Memories are made of this.
Nurse! I hear you now have a boyfriend. You're very young. Where's he from?
He's Welsh, matron. From the Valleys. But he's settled now in WA.
From the Valleys? You need to be very careful of Welsh boys from the Valley. They're wild. Did he work in a coal mine?
No. He was in the Royal Marines, a commando.
Good heavens! You seriously need to think about getting another boyfriend.
It did take him a long time to adjust to City Street. They were so highly trained. Any potentially violent situation and he'd go straight into battle mode. That's why he loved spending time in the bush. We met on New Year's Eve. A friend invited me to go out with her and her boyfriend, and her boyfriend was bringing Dave along. I got all frocked up in a long, black crepe dress. Apparently, we were going to a new restaurant that had just opened. A family-friendly restaurant. All dressed up and they took us to...
Hungry Jack's in Dog Swamp.
Not my idea of fun. And I couldn't understand his accent. And I was going on a working holiday to the UK. But he said he would come and find me there. And he did.
One man, one wife, one love, true life, man. Sweet, sweet.
My mother met John before I did.
Your brother brought a friend home, a Navy mate. He's a nice boy. You should meet him.
Yes, Mum.
No, you really should.
Okay, I'll be there. That was it. I was besotted.
It must have been moon glow, way up in the blue.
One night, under a full moon shining through the old fig tree outside the nurse's quarters, I proposed to her.
And I learned the meaning of being moonstruck.
That led me straight to you.
Looks like I'll be sent to Thailand, love.
But we just bought our house. It wasn't easy being an army wife. The first 5 years of our marriage, we only had 2 years together. As he was sent away to New Guinea just after our daughter was born. I don't want to have another baby if you have to be overseas and miss it all again.
Looks like you're in luck. We're not going after all.
Oh, that's beaut. Then let's add to the family. So I fell pregnant. And then...
Wouldn't you know it? We're going to Borneo.
Oh, so he was away all the time that both of the kids were babies. Once, the eldest was watching a TV show called Combat with me. She suddenly started screaming when she saw a soldier on the show being killed.
Get my daddy out of Borneo!
Hard on the kids too. He was away on service for half of every year. He used to say,
when we have our 50th wedding anniversary, we'll actually be celebrating our 25th.
It must have been moon glow, way up in the blue. Must have been moon glow that led me straight to you.
There's a lot to deal with when you have a husband in the forces. The war did change some things for women, but after the war, we had to give up some of our new freedoms, especially if we got married. But we all remember that before the war, there was a really terrible lack of...
My daughter is the top student at Perth Modern School.
Good on her.
I'd like to send her to university, but don't know if we can work out a way to pay for it.
Can't see much point in that. She'll just get married.
She's interested in chemistry.
Chemistry? That's not for girls.
Well, she's good at it, and she wants to be a pharmacist. I just need to get her into a job where they'll train her.
Now, forget it. You won't get any pharmacist to take on a girl. You got Buckley's, mate.
He was right. All the pharmacists were men, and they were embarrassed even to be asked to take on a girl. In the end, the local pharmacist agreed to train me if my parents paid him £100 for my apprenticeship.
We have to mortgage the house to pay for it.
You're off your trolley.
But they did. Thanks, Dad.
4 years training. She'll get married before the end of it, you'll see.
I didn't, but I did get engaged just before my final exams. My brother flew gliders with a bloke called Kev, and they were pilots together in the war. I first met him when my brother brought him home, and I was only 15. I wasn't interested at that age. He was fun and very outgoing and quick-witted, but he had red hair. Guess what? I now have four red-headed children.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing the tabella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitar and
my husband never told me much about his war experiences, but he had terrible nightmares. He'd scream and swear. He never swore during the day. It seems his dreams were always about the Japanese coming.
I couldn't accept anything Japanese for a very long time after the war.
He'd flail his arms around. He was trying to save us in his dream. I'd have to put my hand over his mouth so the children wouldn't hear the swearing.
Looking back, I think a lot of them had PTSD. They found it hard to settle at first.
Right to the end of his life, I'd just hold him to make the nightmares go away.
My husband, it was like a sort of depression. He'd wake up in the night feeling so frightened. He was only 17 when he went into the Navy. Out on watch, everything was blacked out. What dangers were lurking under the ocean? He watched the fluorescent lights of torpedoes coming across the water. And once, he was sure they'd been hit. He was just waiting to die, but then somehow it went underneath them. When the terrors came over him, I just tried to understand and be kind and to cuddle him. That was the best way I could help. With love.
I met my doctor husband-to-be when I was 40. He came with me to visit my mum in Perth one Christmas.
He's lovely. He left me a nice prescription.
A prescription? For what?
Oh, actually, I think it's a thank you note, but I can't read the writing.
Why don't you come to Melbourne and marry me?
I went from being single and assistant director of the Women's Royal Australian Army Corps in Canberra to being a GP's wife in Melbourne.
About time you had a more leisurely life, Lieutenant Colonel.
We bought an old house to renovate, and then his sons from his former marriage and the dog moved in. And I was working full-time in his surgery and looking after a house. Not so leisurely, but I loved it.
Go the Saints!
I had to honour and obey the St Kilda Footy Club, of course.
Why do fools fall in love? Why do mercy show?
in bed one Sunday morning with a newspaper, and there was an article about people's experience moving to Australia.
What do you reckon, sweetie?
Things moved quickly. That was it. We were on our way with our three children.
Back in England, we were still living with the results of the war.
Here, it's open spaces. Everyone is free and laughing. Beaches, parks, sunshine, heaven. Australia is my home. But the earthquake was a bit of a surprise. I hadn't expected that.
1968, and I was at home in Northern with our daughter. It was raining outside, and I was ironing and wondering why the cat kept coming into the house and then going out again, in and out, in and out. And the next thing, the earthquake came. He and the two boys had gone out collecting wood on my brother-in-law's farm. I was glad to see them arrive home safely.
The boys stayed in the car, reading, because it was so wet. The quake came, and one thought the other had turned the engine on, so he jumped into the front seat to try and stop it. Meckering had a pretty bad go. There's a big drop on the road between Northam and Meckering, and on the railway line. Bloody lucky there weren't any trains.
For a long time after, we might hear a train or a big truck go by, and everyone would stop. We listen. Oh, yes, that's just a train. That's just a truck.
But that rumble, tell you what, it made me quake.
In the summer, we'd go with the kids to the beach. I wanted to make sure they could swim. My wife would put a pencil mark on their hip.
I'd go down with my umbrella and sewing, take sandwiches and a drink.
And a pencil.
Well, they had to make sure they didn't go out deeper than that mark on their hip, or else they'd have to go home.
They knew she'd kept to her word.
So, they did as they were told, and they never went deeper than that mark. And they were safe.
My husband brought presents back from New Guinea. We were all thrilled, but they all smelt musty. So did his case and all of his clothes. Oh, that tropical smell. When he first went to Vietnam, we bought a cassette tape recorder. That was brand new technology. He sent a cassette tape telling us that he recorded stories, narrated his life, talked to the kids. We were so excited. I waited for the kids to get home from school and set it up.
Dad sent a tape.
Oh, Fab, that's a great present.
At least it doesn't smell weird.
I had afternoon tea all prepared and we were sitting ready to listen, full of expectation. The tape started off.
G'day, kids. This is Dad from Vietnam. I'm in my quarters, and there are these little geckos on the wall, and they go, gecko, gecko, gecko.
What's going on? Is that it?
Oh, Dad.
I don't know what he did, but that was the end of the tape. There was nothing else. Two sentences. We were so disappointed. Perhaps we'll settle for musty-smelling presents after all.
When the stars make you drool, just like a pasta fazool at some ore. When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love.
Some of the older veterans from World War II were a bit scornful at first about the later conflicts.
That's not a war.
But I tell you, if you fought in a war, any kind of war, it leaves its mark on you and on your family. It affected my husband's long-term health. 6 to 8 months after he died, I decided to paint the walls at home, shifted out the bookcase to the patio and covered it with a big blue tarp. In the kitchen, there's a little window that has a view down the path. One day, I was doing something and I caught sight of a patch of blue, just like my husband's blue jacket. And my heart, it skipped a beat. He's here. Oh, no. No, it's only the tarp.
Since my husband died, it's been hard. We were married 60 years. He was home every day. He was here for three meals a day and morning and afternoon tea. So it's a big gap.
But I'm a person who accepts that's that, and not to fight it. I just got on with my life. I joined all the different clubs I could think of. There was nothing else I could do. I just had to carry on.
You make the best of it. You think, aren't I lucky? I've got a comfortable home, good friends and good family. Got a lot to be grateful for. I look up at the shining white moon, white like a lamp in the dark sky. and I think
unforgettable. That's what you are. Unforgettable. Though near or far, like a song of love that clings to me, how the thought of you does things to me. Never before has someone been more unforgettable.
White is the color of clarity,
of hope,
of wholeness.
When Una looks back, she sees a white dress.
A white dress at her christening.
A white dress at her confirmation. A white dress as her nurse's uniform.
A white dress at her wedding.
A white hospital gown.
A white dress for bowling.
So many memories. Life is about gratitude.
For all the happy moments, large and small.
A flower in the sunshine.
A child in your arms.
That morning cup of tea.
The moment your eyes first met.
And you just knew.
Life is
unforgettable in every way. And forevermore, that's how you'll stay. That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
In the play Looking Back by Jenny Davis OAM, and originally presented by Theatre 180, you heard all roles played by Rebecca Davis, Stuart Hallis, and Tegan Mulvaney. Adaption for radio by Jenny Davis, with research assistance from Helen Cohen-Robertson of Know Your Nation. Radio production and soundscape by Edo Brands, and our thanks to Craig Skilton for his involvement in the original stage production.